Thanks for listening to Morning Edition this morning on WYLL AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD2 and HD3. It's time now for the pre-opening commodity market reports, and here's Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. The Labor Department this morning says the nation's unemployment rate jumped to 8.5% in March, the highest level since late 1983. Employers eliminated a net total of 663,000 jobs. It is a record 4 straight months that job losses topped 600,000, but the latest tally of job losses was slightly higher than the 654,000 that economists expected as well, and the rise in unemployment rate did match expectations of analysts. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, now at 79.47, is down almost 30.75 points. The NASDAQ at 1600 is down 1.79, and the S&P 500 at 831 is down a few ticks under 3.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us now with a look at the weekend weather outlook for agriculture is meteorologist Scott Althoff. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Dave. Well, rain fell across the Midwest yesterday from eastern Kansas to southern Michigan and western Ohio Thursday. The greatest amounts occurred from east central Missouri into south central Michigan, western Ohio, and much of Kentucky, where amounts of 3/10 to 3/4 of an inch and 1/2 inch to 1.5 inches west of Kentucky into east central Illinois. Here at WILO, we picked up 80 through 81 hundredths of an inch of rain. A larger storm system impact the Midwest during the next couple of weeks will occur starting tonight into Tuesday, with blizzard conditions impacting parts of the western Corn Belt while widespread rain occurs elsewhere. Snow will be heaviest from the Nebraska and southern South Dakota into southern Minnesota, where accumulations will range from 6 to 12 inches, with some amounts up to 16 inches. Lighter snowfall is expected from Wisconsin into Michigan. Colder air passing in the heart of the Midwest late this weekend and early next week will generate some light snow and snow shower activity throughout the Midwest as far south as St. Louis. Freezes are likely in most of the Midwest early next week, and crops aren't far enough to be developed, although warming will occur late next week and in the following weekend and will accelerate the melting of snow in the Northwest Corn Belt. To watch that for helping some of the flooding situations. Storm systems expected to impact the southern and eastern Midwest during midweek next week will contribute to runoff from melting snow to return some flood potential across portions of the Midwest. Northwestern crop areas will see the least significant precipitation through the next week, allowing the Red River Basin flooding to continue receding. Warmer northern plain temperatures Tuesday through Friday will melt snow in that region, possibly raising river levels briefly once again. Flooding in the Red River Basin will not return to levels seen the past week, despite any new runoff that takes place. Less frequent and less significant rainfall in the Midwest will occur during the April 11th to the 15th time period, and mild to warm temperatures will offer the best net drying conditions, and some field work may resume during that period. Until then, we have a very active pattern setting up across the Midwest. In the U.S. Delta Southeast, the last round of heavy rain for the next several days exited the southeastern states Thursday after another 2.3 inches to 5 inches of rain fell from central Florida Panhandle into southern Georgia and the southern fringe of South Carolina. Other areas of heavy rain include the region of northeastern Mississippi into northern Alabama, where anywhere from 1.4 to 2.09 inches occurred. A potent surge of cold air will affect the Delta and Southeast early next week, with some crop-threatening cold possible. The coldest temperatures will occur Tuesday and Wednesday morning, with freezes occurring as far south as northern Louisiana to central Georgia through eastern North Carolina. Damage potentials are highest in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia, where winter wheat is in advanced joint to boot stages. Corn will not be seriously damaged. The Delta and Southeast will experience a welcome period of drier weather through next week and in the following weekend. While some light rain is expected, most areas will experience net drying, with flooding conditions slowly abating. Some of the most well-drained fields should firm enough for field work to advance, and drying will come to an end toward the middle part of the month when a storm system brings significant precipitation to most areas. Now, cold temperatures are predicted for all the hard red wheat areas early next week. Freezes are likely in most of the production region. Extreme lows in the teens and 20s will occur in the high plains, with 20s occurring from Oklahoma northward across central and eastern Kansas. Lows in north central Texas will be in the upper 20s and lower 30s, and Monday morning will be the coldest in most areas, although southeastern Oklahoma and north central Texas may be a little colder on Tuesday morning. Permanent crop damage is not expected to most of the wheat crop because they saw that kind of a cold conditions just about a week ago, but there will be some areas that will be impacted early next week with the cold and the snow that does occur across the northern high plains will help protect the winter wheat there. That's your growing areas weather. I'm meteorologist Scott Oltoff.
In Thursday's overnight trading session, Kansas City May wheat opened at 589, down 2.5. Last trade up 2.75. July, $6, down 1.75. Last trade up 2. May wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade opened at 551, up 0.5. Last trade up 3.5. July, 563, up 0.25. Last trade up 3.25. December, 610.25, unchanged. Last trade up 3/4. May corn opened at 401, down 1.5. Last trade down 3/4. July, 411, down 1.75. Last trade down 1.5. December, 432.5, down 2.25, last trade down 3/4. May soybeans opened at 974.25, down 2.75, last trade up 6.5. July, 974, down 3, last trade up 6.75. November, 913.5, down 2, last trade up 0.5. May soybean meal opened at 297.80, up 40, last trade up 3.50. May soybean oil opened at 34.98, down 12, last trade up 5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. She is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Dave.
Does the rally this week have you optimistic about 450 December corn and 960 November beans by planting time?
I knew you were going to put a time frame on that. I actually believe that we could see the 470 range on December corn by planting time. I think the big key will be we need to get this rally in place to get the crop planted, and then unfortunately I'm fearful that we're going to see a lot of the stocks that are sitting in farmers' bins right now come out and put some real pressure onto the market.
And what about the bean side?
What about the bean side? Well, when I look at November beans and I look at where my I think that we could see the 988 level, and on an outside, weather issue situation, perhaps, Argentine. There's a lot of ifs. 1037 is going to be the top end as far as I'm concerned for right now. But I do think we could see 960 quite easily.
Give me the if to get us to 1037.
Well, I think that we have to have some continuing problems in the Argentina situation, which will keep on propping things up. I believe that one of the things that could be the biggest pusher would be an increase in the crude oil prices. I think that when we saw what happened yesterday just on the G20 summit, that there's good opportunity to see that. And, you know, we have analysts out here, and I myself am in the same court to think that we could look at $65 to $75 on oil. Will that happen before planting? Not necessarily, but I do think we'll see oil supported on some of the improvements that we're seeing. You know, the G20 gives them a lot of hope when you see money coming into the Eastern European countries to help them stabilize, that we will see some demand pick back up. I think, too, it just depends upon, you know, the wild if on whether we can get there and what might keep us from getting there would be if we think there's going to be a lot of beans shifted over in the Dakotas and places like that due to the weather. But I think any kind of improvement in the weather, we still have time. And so it's going to take a cut in the American dollar, and I believe that's coming. I think the dollar is going to weaken, and that certainly could help us get there.
So we're doing it on the optimism of hope for the future, as opposed to the reality of today, because if you looked at the Labor Department, we're over 600,000 job loss again for March.
Oh, absolutely. And yet that was interesting because, that's right in the middle of the range, basically. 8.5% unemployment, and yet we pretty much knew that, and we've got the Dow Jones trading higher. You know, so I think that one of the things we have to recognize, whether it's the Dow Jones, whether it's the corn market, whatever, a lot of that is done on perception, you know, and so we really dialed in a lot of negative numbers into this market already. And I think all we're seeing right now, and that's why we're kind of trading sideways to a little bit higher at times, is that some of that negativity is beginning to come out, and they're starting to say, like the announcement from Valero today, saying that they're going to run their new ethanol plants at full throttle.
Right.
I think, you know, some of that is coming back in. You know, there was so much speculation that these plants weren't going to run and everything else. So I really do think that perhaps just the change in attitude makes the difference.
Very quickly, calls.
I'm looking for corn to be steady to down a penny, beans up 5 to 6, wheat up 2 to 3, live cattle on an extension of their gains from yesterday, plus some cash trade, and lean hogs up just because we're seeing the spread between cash and futures improving.
Thank you much, Jackie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. She is in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana, and on the web 24/7 at WILLAG.org.